Visitors with us. We appreciate, as already stated, that you're here, and it's always good to have visitors among us, and it's also good to see those who have been sick who feel able enough to come, and some of you really don't feel like being here from what you've indicated to me, but you came in spite of that, and that is certainly encouraging. It's good to see each and every one of you. Our scripture reading was from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, the first 10 verses. Appreciate Braden for doing such a good job on that. And that great song service that we had, Jacob did a good job on that as well. Every single one of us face challenges. I don't think that there's any among us or any place else that you would go that individuals could honestly say that they've never had a challenge of one kind or another. We all struggle with various different things, and we don't all struggle with the same things. I've stated before, and it bears repeating, that some of the things that I may struggle with, you may have no problem with. And some of the things that may be troublesome to you or trying to you, I might find to be less troubling or maybe not troubling at all. And so we recognize that we each one go through difficulties in this life. And sometimes it gets pretty hard. I think we can look at times in our lives and reflect on those things that maybe we've experienced and can see that that was just a troubling or a difficult time, whether it was with a job or with a family situation or with the loss of a family member, whatever the case may be, sickness, whatever it may be. But one thing that I appreciate so very much about our God is that He stands with us. And His word assures us of that. Maybe you've been raised in a family that has multiple siblings. Maybe you weren't the only child. Maybe you were. But maybe you've heard children as they were small that they wanted to do something or they wanted something. And they were trying to talk the other brother or sister into going and asking mom and dad. And maybe the response was, you know what they're going to say? They're going to say the same thing that they always say. A question like that's been worded to me before by children who would say, I have a question, but I know what you're going to say. We've studied recently about our family relationship with one another and being the household of God, our relationship with our Father. And I think sometimes that we go to God in prayer thinking that we have no idea how God would respond to a particular situation. When in actuality, if we were to open up His Word, we know how He would respond because He has already responded in a similar situation. If we would just open up His Word and find an example of someone who maybe is struggling, maybe weak, or whatever the case may be, and how did God deal with that? How did God respond to that individual? How has God responded to the various individuals that we find in the Bible and the struggles that they had? We're familiar with what the Bible says regarding the fact that the Bible is the Word of God, right? You believe that, I hope. I hope that you are persuaded of that because of the evidence that we have. We know that the Bible says in places like Hebrews 1:1-2, that God speaks to us today through His Son. We're assured of that. We know that. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, when Paul was writing about the Word that they had received, and he said, we receive the words that the Holy Ghost giveth, teacheth. We've been given the mind of God. It's been revealed, Paul talks about in that passage and other places like Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. And so, when we face difficulties, this being a new year, and we're not sure, we think, of how God would have us to behave in that particular situation, maybe we need to begin with a study of His Word and see how God has already responded if we will just simply open it up, read it, and obey it and make application of it. And so I want us to think about some things along those lines this morning. Again, our scripture reading was from 1 Samuel chapter 3, the first 10 verses. And there's a statement that is made in that text that is a good starting place for us as we get into this sermon and we think about these points. You recall the story about Samuel and how his mother Hannah had prayed for a child and God had blessed her with Samuel, and she dedicated Samuel to service of the Lord. And he was going to really take Eli's place in time to come. But in our reading, notice that the Bible in verse 9 says this: "Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down." Now some of your versions read a little bit different. "And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth." Some versions say, "For thy servant is listening." I think that's the way that it was read and you're hearing a moment ago. I think about the powerful verse that is recorded there, that statement. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." That is so simple. But yet, in that, if we can see the willingness to submit, the willingness to listen when the Lord speaks. Now, we know, as I introduce this lesson, that God doesn't speak to us like I'm speaking to you. He has spoken to us, and it's recorded in His Word. But I want to ask you, since the Lord has spoken, have you listened? Have I listened? I know that we're going to go through struggles. We're going to go through them personally. We're going to go through struggles congregationally. The devil is going to ensure that. But since God has spoken, have we listened? I've got about 12 things. I'm not going to cover all them this morning. We'll get through maybe 5 or 6 of them, then we'll reserve the rest of them for another time, maybe next Lord's Day. But I want us to think about these things together. So when you have difficulties, I want you to reflect on this lesson and the statements that we find. Maybe a very difficult time comes upon you. What would God say to me, or what has He said in other situations to other people? Maybe the Lord would say to us, as He said to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, we spent some time in the Good Bible class this morning. In the book of Joshua. Maybe this is what the Lord would have us to recall to mind. It's in His Word. It's there for our learning, for our benefit. And so maybe we need to reflect on it when difficulties arise. And we're going through a very tough time. Maybe the Lord would have us to see Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 6. Watch what He says to Joshua. "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Verse 7, for emphasis, "only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee." And so, when we're faced with difficulties, maybe we can reflect on Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. Be strong. Be courageous. Would the Lord have us to know that in times of difficulty, when it seems like our obstacles are sometimes larger than what we're going to be able to overcome? You think about Israel. Here they were going into a strange land, but yet a land that God had promised to their fathers. Promised to them, "I'm going to give you this land, but you're going to have to go and you're going to have to take it. You're going to have to possess it. You're going to have to drive out the enemies, the inhabitants of the land. Be strong." And so I want to suggest to you that when life seems like it's just about to get the better of you, and it may feel like that from time to time, the Lord wants you to be strong. Someone says, "Well, that's Old Testament stuff." Well, let's come to the New Testament. I'll give you a reference from there. In Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 9, Paul writing to the churches of Galatia, and he's, of course, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as all the Bible writers did. He says, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if what, Paul? If we faint not. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and in verse 13. Very simple verse that is found in this chapter. Watching, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. What's those next two words? Be strong. When it's difficult, reflect on that. It's there to help you. It's there to help me in the life that we live in. Psalm 31. And in verse 24, notice what the psalmist declared. Psalm 31, verse 24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. If I were to ask you this morning, begin with self and all the way around the room, how strong are you? How would you respond to that? How courageous are you in serving the Lord? Can you find any room for improvement? I think we all can. And so, that's the first thing that I want you to think about is be strong and courageous. God has stated that to Joshua, stated that to us. And we need to reflect upon it. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hear it. But there's another point that I want you to think about, and this comes from Luke chapter 6. Well, I'm not always treated the way that I would like to be treated, one might say. We probably all relate to that in one way or another. I just don't like the way that so-and-so has treated me or whatever the case may be. Well, you know what? You think about how Jesus was treated. Think about how the apostles were treated. We live among people in the world who couldn't care less about what's recorded in the Bible. Couldn't care less about your feelings. That's why it's so important and so refreshing to be among those of like precious faith like we are today. People who care. But how am I supposed to respond in times like that? Well, we could pray about it. Indeed, we need to pray about it, casting all of our care upon Him. In prayer and supplication, let our requests be made known unto God. Philippians chapter 4 and 10 verse 6. Pray without ceasing. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. So we need to pray about it, but perhaps God has already told us through His Word how we are to respond to that. The question is, am I listening? In Luke chapter 6 and in verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear, what's this? Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. We have any enemies? Can you assess some acquaintances or associates or people perhaps that you've came in contact with that are your enemies? Don't like the lifestyle you're living? Don't like the fact that you're a Christian? A member of the body of Christ? They don't like the fact that you're honest? They don't like the fact that you want to do what's right? Want to go to the right places and abstain from the wrong places? Or say the right things as opposed to the wrong things? Behave the right way instead of the wrong way? And so how are we to treat our enemies? Again, you can pray about it. We all need to. But He's already stated, love your enemies. Do good to them. Nothing difficult about that. It might be difficult in the application of it. Certainly nothing difficult in the understanding of that very simple phrase. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, the Lord talked to the apostles about love. Give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Right? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one toward another. And back in Luke 6, the Lord talked to them about the way in which they were to do that, the extent of that, when He says, for if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. It's very easy to love people who will reciprocate the feeling, who will pay it back, who will love you back. But it's not always easy to have love for people who could care less about you. But it's necessary nonetheless if we're going to be the people of God. Think about that. The next time that a difficult situation arises and you want to know, how would God have me to respond? Speak, Lord, for thy servant is listening. He's told us. Greater love can no man have than this, and that a man lay down his life for his friends. Climax of God's great love for us is evident in the sending of His Son, John 3:16. So if He loved us, we ought also to love others and love one another. But not only that, I want us to think about Hebrews chapter 13 and a statement that is found. All of these are simple things that we've talked about, ran across in the past, and done classes on, or we talked about in sermons, things that you know, but maybe never have thought about them from this angle. The book of Hebrews, chapter 13. And in verse 5, the Bible says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." Now watch this. "For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." I feel like I'm in it all alone, and there's no one else that cares about it, no one else who will stand with me. Not so for the child of God. Because He has assured us, I wonder what the Lord would say. Well, He would say, as He has said, "I will never leave you, nor forsake you." So we don't have to wonder, am I in it all alone? Would the Lord stand with me? He will stand with us and will never leave us. Other people may, and will never forsake us. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And so in the quietness of the evening and the night, when it seems like throughout the day you have been all alone, you need to reflect on that. Jesus, when you think about praying as He prayed so earnestly in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night that He was betrayed and arrested to be taken and slaughtered, crucified, executed, put to death, however you want to phrase it. And yet, He was not alone. And we're not either when difficulties arise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10... 1 Corinthians chapter 10, rather, in verse 13. God has already spoken. We've got to listen as you turn there. Listen to what He wants us to know. He wanted them to know this. Those at Corinth. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." Watch this next phrase. "But God is faithful." Let's stop there and ask the question. Do you believe that God is faithful? Do you really believe that God is faithful? And if you do, why do you believe that? You put Him to the test. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And we've got His Word. It has a good track record. "Who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." Several things you can learn for that. Well, number one, there's nothing that's going to come upon you that hasn't come upon someone else in the past. So no, you're not alone. You're not the only one that's ever had to experience that. It's common to man. But God is faithful. Will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. And so when you think, well, I'm not so sure I can get through this, well, His Word says that you can, because God is faithful to not allow more to be put on you than what you're able to overcome. Now what's the next part of this? "But will also, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it," or to escape it. Sometimes you've got to look for a way out. Sometimes God has provided that for us. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You think the Apostle Paul went through difficulties? You know, there were other apostles. He met them. There was other people who Paul knew firsthand had been executed in service to the Lord, because before his conversion, he bare witness to the execution of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. So it wasn't that Paul went into it with his eyes closed, as though he knew what could not happen in a life of service to God. But yet when he's writing to Timothy, as recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says in verse 16, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." Remember a moment ago I said others may forsake you? Now watch verse 17. "Notwithstanding," or in spite of that, or in light of that, or considering that, the Lord what? "Stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." You know who the mouth of the lion is, or the lion is? 2 Peter 5 verse 8, "Be sober, vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Paul says, they forsook me, but the Lord stood with me. And not only did the Lord stand with me, but He strengthened me. So yes, we need to pray, but we need to understand that God will never leave us and He'll never forsake us. And so in this year, as difficulties arise, and they're going to, we need to reflect upon that. They were no better off, no better than we are. We're no better than them, the people you read about in the Bible, Christians, the apostles. God strengthening them, He will strengthen us. You've got to study His Word, make application of it. But also, number four, in Matthew chapter 5, we read this phrase from Luke's account, Luke 6 just a moment ago, but in Matthew chapter 5, we are told something very, like all these other things, are very simple. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you." Now watch this. "Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Would we be willing to do that? To do good, though we know that individuals are not going to do good to us. I'll start with myself. All the way around the room, we could go with that. "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Well, He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, when in this Sermon on the Mount, which is a teaching about how to have a relationship really with God and our service to Him and our service to one another, our relationship to mankind, "Do them good." "Lord, what would you have me to do to them?" Do them good. Someone want to, whatever the case may be, do good. Galatians 6:10. "As we have opportunity, therefore, let us do good unto all men, especially on the household of faith." Donnie's to do good. Eula's to do good. Nathan's to do good. Bernie, all the way around the room, we're to do good as we have opportunity to do that. Hebrews chapter 13. And then verse 16. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Got to be pleased with it. Others may not. But after all, are we trying to please men or to please God? In preaching of the gospel, Paul said, "If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Jesus Christ." Galatians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 11, let him eschew evil, that means to shun evil, and do good, let him speak peace, and ensue it. You recall what James stated in James chapter 4, verse 17, relative to doing good? Therefore, to him who knoweth to do good, what's the rest of that? Therefore, to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, he sinneth. Matthew chapter 5. I don't know what my reaction ought to be. I don't know what emotions I ought to feel about it. I really just don't know how God would have me to feel or to react about whatever the case may be. Well, speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, that you're very familiar with, the Lord said, let's begin with verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. In other words, He's not talking about individuals who got themselves into hot water because they were to blame when they should have done something another than they shouldn't have done it. But blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for doing what's right. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Well, how should I feel about that? Notice verse 12. Rejoice. And be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Again, when these things of which the Lord was talking to the disciples about come upon you, are you going to reflect back on Matthew chapter 5 and then verse 12? To prompt us all to do a little rejoicing in times of adversity and difficulty? That's what the Lord's saying. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hear it. Acts 5:41. The apostles were imprisoned and beaten, and yet they departed from the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Peter recorded in 1 Peter 4:16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him glorify God. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So how should I react? God has spoken, told me how to act. Now I can pray about it and ask the Lord to be with me. We know that He's going to help us do the right thing, to give us knowledge and wisdom as we study His Word and seek out the best way and the best approach to the difficulties that we have. But have we heard what He has already said? Rejoice. One more point for today. In all of the midst of it, when we're so focused about, yeah, but they did this and they did that and they said this and whatever the case may be, don't forget about James chapter 1, verse 27, as God has already said. James, like the other writers, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, put here for you and put here for me. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Now watch this. And keep himself unspotted from the world. Father, what do you want me to know about it? Keep yourself unspotted. They'll give an answer. They'll stand in judgment. But Donnie, old boy, don't think that you're not going to. Keep yourself unspotted from the ways of the world. So don't be overly consumed about everybody else to the neglecting of self. I say that to me. By the way, everything that I say in the pulpit is for Donnie Oliver first and for the benefit of those that will hear. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. Take heed to what, Paul? or to who? Take heed to everybody but yourself. Is that what your book says? That's not right, is it? You know better. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. We've got responsibility out of love to teach the truth and love to others that will hear. But folks, we've got responsibility to self as well. Don't forget that. In 2 Corinthians 13 and then verse 5. Two words, then the rest of it. Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Here's at least six things that we need to reflect on that God has already said that we need just to call to mind when the going gets tough. Not give up. We'll not make it if we give up, will we? Shake or not. Will we make it if we give up? Not a bit. Speak, Lord. Thy servant is listening or hearing. So I ask you this morning, at the close of this lesson, as we've just talked about this thought, maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. Will you listen as the Lord has spoken and said how to become one? Will you obey? I can't make that choice for you. If I could, whoever's not a Christian would be up here on the front. We'd immerse them into Christ this very hour, right? But you've got to make it for you. I had to make the decision for myself, and so does everyone else. You be rest assured that this room is filled full of people who want to see you obey and go to heaven. And I'm convinced we'll strengthen you and stand by you and encourage you to get there. You've got to do what the Bible says to do that, and you do. They become a Christian by hearing Romans 10:17. By believing that Jesus is the Son of God, John 8:24, repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3, and other passages, confess your faith in Christ, that He's the Son of God. So simple, to stand before these present and say, I believe, like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then to be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's what God has said that we must do to be saved. Have you heard? Do you believe and will you respond in obedience to that? Maybe you're here this morning and in time past you did that. You have done that. The long life's wearisome road, you've fallen aside, you've turned back into the ways of the world and you want to be restored. You can't. Repenting of those things, making confession of them, we'll pray with you and for you. Folks, there's danger and delay coming.